For those of you that are joining us today, and for those of you that have not been with us for a while, we are glad that you are here. We are really glad to worship with you today. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are many arguments concerning Easter. There's a lot that has been said. But I'm going to save you some time by staying out of those arguments. Because I just want us to have a good time and to worship the Lord and to focus on the real meaning of Easter. But also because the Bible condemns word fights. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So while there are so many things that people will say about Easter in connection to a pagan worship, we know that we are here because of one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have every reason to celebrate his resurrection. So please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For those that are joining us for the first time, my name is Pastor Valerian. Feel free to call me Valerian. And you are welcome here again. For your information, we don't only meet on Easter Sunday. Every Sunday we are here because every Sunday is Easter. Amen. Every Sunday we remind ourselves that Jesus died and rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 12 to 22. Paul is responding to people that were denying resurrection. And he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has been raised, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied, most miserable. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is the word of God. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is God's word and we are God's children, then the Bible, finish it with me, is God's word for us. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, acknowledging your presence in this place. We know that you are here with us. We know that your Holy Spirit is with us right now. And we are praying that, Lord, you may take control of this worship service, that you may accomplish what you intend to accomplish through your word, that, Father, you may speak to us, you may teach us, you may remind us, you may do what you want to do, Lord, and give us a heart that will respond to you. Give us a mind that will accept your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is responding to people that were denying the resurrection. Not just the resurrection of Jesus, but any resurrection. They were saying, if you die, you are done. And therefore, Paul is responding to that. He's saying, if there is no resurrection, then Christ did not rise. He is tying the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the resurrection of people. It's so important for us to realize that if you take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity is done. We have no hope with a dead Christ. Christianity will be just like any other world religion that you know. It will be like Islam, whose prophet died and never rose. It will be like Buddhism and any other religion you can think about. The only thing that makes Christianity different is because our Savior died and rose again. And Paul is saying, if you begin by denying the resurrection of the dead, you will be denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only reason that you and I have a hope to rise again is because Jesus Christ rose again. He says that if the dead do not rise, are not raised to life, then Christ did not raise to life, and therefore, if Christ was not raised, then our faith is useless. Our preaching is a waste of time. Everything that we believe in is a lie. In fact, some of us should be arrested for propagating a lie if Christ was not raised. For Christians, we know that Jesus Christ died. No one argues about his death. We know that he was buried, and we know that on the third day, the Bible repeats that several times. You read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, and it says, he was raised on the third day. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith, the cornerstone of our hope, and the cornerstone of our comfort. We are the only religion that celebrates the death of its Savior. But it's because we know that it did not end with his death. We know that his death was not the end, it was just the beginning. And we have every reason to celebrate. That's why I keep on saying that every Sunday is Easter for us. Because every Sunday we gather together to remind one another that we worship a living Savior. Amen. Every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday. But the resurrection of Jesus, we are told, it promises something much bigger, something greater. It promises our resurrection. Because Christ was raised, we know that we will also be raised. You see, that changes how we see life and how we see death. He says that the first Adam brought death. The second Adam, Christ, brought life. We die because of the first Adam. We live because of the second Adam. We die because of the sin that we have inherited. We live because of salvation that has been given to us. It promises something bigger. Jesus Christ is the first fruit, and we are the harvest. When he rose, he was opening a door for us. See, this is the hope that Christians have. This is the hope that we hold on to. It's something that you cannot take away from us. You can mistreat a Christian. You can deny them everything. You can persecute them, but you will never take away the hope of their resurrection. It's something that we have because it's the Christ in us. He is alive and he will continue to live. But as great and as inspiring his resurrection is, we cannot talk about it without talking about the painful death he died on the cross. There is no resurrection without death. And I know this can be intense. Let me just read for you something, how someone described. In fact, this is a doctor. He described the torture and the death that Jesus endured. I want you to listen carefully and try to imagine, to visualize this. Says, after the arrest in the middle of the night, Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin and the high priest. It is here that the first physical trauma is inflicted. A soldier strikes Jesus across the face for remaining silent when questioned by the high priest. The palace guards then blindfold him and mockingly taunt him to identify them as they each pass by, spit upon him, and strike him in the face. In the early morning, battered and bruised, dehydrated and exhausted from a sleepless night, Jesus is taken to Pontius Pilate. Pilate's attempt to pass responsibility to Herod fails. Jesus is returned to Pilate. Then, in response to the mob's cries, Pilate orders Barabbas released and condemns Jesus to scourge and crucifixion. Jesus is stripped off his clothing and his hands tied to a post above his head. The Roman soldiers step forward with a short whip consisting of several heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead attached near the ends of each. The heavy whip is brought down with full force again and again across Jesus' shoulders, back, and legs. As the blows continue, they cut deeper, producing an oozing of blood. The small balls of lead first make large, deep bruises that make the back skin hang in long ribbons. And the entire area, unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. When it is determined that the prisoner is near death, the beating is stopped. The half-fainting Jesus is then untied and allowed to slump to the stone pavement, soaking in his own blood. Flexible branches covered with long thorns are planted into the shape of a crown, and this is pressed into his scalp. There is copious bleeding from the scalp. After mocking him and striking him across the face, the soldiers take the stick from his hand and strike him across the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. Jesus is now ready to be crucified. At Golgotha, Jesus is quickly thrown backward with his shoulders against the wood. Heavy square iron nails are driven through his wrists and deep into the wood. Then the left foot is pressed against the right foot, and with both feet extended, a nail is driven through the arch of each. The victim is now crucified. Jesus fights to raise himself to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream. It is probably at this point that he looks down at the Roman soldiers and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I understand that talking about the death of Jesus Christ can bring to memories the deaths of our loved ones. Because when you lose a loved one, the pain, the grief, doesn't just disappear. It stays. Every year, we are reminded of the loved ones that we lost. When we remember their special occasions, their birthdays, and moments and places that we shared together, restaurants that we went together, the life that we lived with them, we grieve. And sometimes grief interferes with our normal function of life. If left to control us, it can lead to depression and other mental issues. But we are also comforted when we remember that our loved ones are in a better place and that we will see them again. And that's the comfort that we get from Jesus Christ. When we remember what he went through, the pain he endured, the death that he died for our sake. And then we are reminded that he rose again. So that grief turns to hope and joy. And so, even so, we will still feel the pain. We will still grieve. We find ourselves grieving differently. His resurrection brings a new meaning to life and death. And because of this, when we look at his loved ones, the disciples, when we think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all the people that believed in him and followed him, when they saw him go through the torture, the pain, and the death, they grieved his death. It was painful for them. And everyone that has lost a loved one can identify with the disciples, can identify with Mary, can identify with those people that had believed in him and followed him. Everyone that has gone through a difficult moment in life can identify with the followers of Jesus Christ. We know how it feels to suffer. We know how it feels when a loved one dies. I lost my brother 3 years ago, but every year I think of him. Every year when I think of him, I still feel the same pain that I felt that day. Every year. And the only place I can find my comfort is in Jesus Christ. The only person that I can look to and be encouraged and be reminded that death is not the end of life is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that I can turn to and find hope. Let me give you 2 points here. One, his resurrection gives us hope in this life. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope in this life. Believers will be raised because Christ was raised. You remember the song, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." It's because of Christ. I know you want to continue singing, but that was not my intention. Number two, the hope we have in Christ transforms our view of life and death. His resurrection gives us hope, and that hope transforms our view of life and death. We don't see life and death the same way. You don't see life and death the same way when you encounter Christ. Everything changes. We realize that we have every reason to live and every reason to hope for another life. I shared with you here about my friend Dell, who died from prostate cancer. I remember his words when I visited him the last few days. In his pain, he told me, "Pastor Valerian, I only have 2 choices. And he was smiling in pain. "I only have 2 choices, to live for Christ or to die and be with Christ." In his pain, Dell found his comfort in Jesus Christ. He understood that my death is not the end of my life. That is because of the faith that we have in Christ. Because faith focuses on life. Not just the life that we live here, but the life that we will live with Jesus Christ as well. Faith understands that death is not the end. Fear focuses on death. Fear will make you think that death is the end. Faith will remind you that death is just the beginning. That said, I am still waiting for theologians to figure out why and how painted eggs and white rabbits relate to the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know about your kids, those of you that have kids, but my kids, I know my kids, they love those Easter candies. And my fear is that they might lose the real meaning of Easter. Our mission, brothers and sisters, has nothing to do with painted eggs. It has everything to do with the hope that we have in Christ. And this is the message that I have for you. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is life after death, life with God. Because Jesus rose again, there is life after death, life with God. Some of you here don't like their neighbors. You have that one neighbor that you wish they could just move. You find it even difficult to pray for your neighbor. Well, here is an encouragement for you. In heaven, your neighbors will be the best. Your neighbors will be people like Moses and Jacob and Joseph and the disciples. In heaven, life will be different. It will be a life full of joy. You will have no fear of any type of pandemic. For those of you that are struggling to put on your masks, in heaven, you won't need them. Just encourage yourself. Remind yourself that everything that you're doing in this world is temporary. It is the life that we will have with our Lord that is permanent. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know there is life after death, and that is life with God. Why do people say in funerals that we loved him or her, but God loved him more? Where does that come from? I've never seen it in the scripture. I've never seen anything that suggests that because someone is dead, God loves them more. Let me tell you what tells us that God loves us more. It is in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It tells us that God demonstrates his love towards us this way. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God doesn't love you more when you die. He loves you anyway. And he has shown that love by sending his son to die on the cross. When we come together on a day like this, we are reminding ourselves of the love of God, which was demonstrated by the love of giving his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. And therefore, if you are here and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you have not accepted him, you haven't submitted your life to him, Let me remind you that he loves you. He died for you. And because of his death, you can have your sins forgiven. Because of his death, you can have a new life. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You turn to Jesus right now, you ask him to forgive you and to save you. He receives you and you become a new creation. It's what we say. We say you have been born again. You will have two birthdays. You will have two birthdays to celebrate. And you will have one death. You get born again, you die once. You don't get born again, you die twice. You will die here on earth, and you will be separated from God forever. The Bible calls it the second death. Jesus loves you. For those of us that have believed in Jesus, we have a relationship with Jesus. Now, some of us, someone told me yesterday that they are called CEO. I didn't know about that, which means Christmas and Easter only. Some of us may be Christians, but we are CEO Christians. The only time we pay attention to Jesus Christ is Christmas and Easter. Now, that's a trial. You have tried. But Jesus wants our attention every day. Every day he wants our attention. And therefore, for those of us that have believed in Jesus, we have a relationship. Let me ask you a question. How will you offer hope to those who need it? How will you offer hope to those who need it? How will you offer encouragement and joy? Because you have hope. You have encouragement in Christ. You know what it means to be joyful. How will you take that hope and that encouragement that you have and pass it on to someone else? Because if our faith does not offer people hope and joy and comfort, then we have believed in vain. If people will not see Christ because of what we believe, then our faith is useless. We know that because of his resurrection, we see life and death differently. We know that we have hope. We know that we grieve differently because our grieving is one of hope. How will you, as a Christian, offer that hope to someone else? Because it's something that we really need to do. As Christians, it should be our desire to point people to Christ. It should be our desire, whichever way you can do it, whichever way you can do it, please do it. Point people to Christ, because that's where we can find our hope and our comfort. Let me finish by saying this. Since we have hope and encouragement in Christ because of his resurrection, We can rely in him. We can rely on him. We can trust him. We can turn to him during the tough times in our lives. We have gone through a lot because of the pandemic, and some of us are still suffering the impact of the coronavirus. Some of us are in fear. Some of us are stressed. You have to think about it everywhere you go, in everything that you do. And it is possible when you are going through such difficulties to forget where your hope is. I just want to encourage you that in Christ, we have someone who can walk with us through the valleys and the mountains of this life. We have someone that we can turn to and ask for help when everything seems to be crumbling down. In Christ, we have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So as a Christian, just remind yourself that we have this Christ, this Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That means everywhere we go, he is there with us, that we can rely on. This Jesus that we celebrate his resurrection is here to help us and to see us through. May everything you face in life, may every challenge that comes your way lead you to Christ, where you can find your hope and your peace. Father, I want to thank you again this morning. I want to thank you for your people that are gathered here. I thank you for the love that you have for us. I thank you for this day, just for reminding us that you gave your son so that we can have our sins forgiven. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that Jesus Christ did. And Lord, we turn to you this morning, acknowledging your presence here in the person of the Holy Spirit, praying that you may minister to us. Lord, you know each one of us as if there was only one of us. You know the questions that we ask. You know the challenges that we face. And that, Father, I'm asking you to show yourself strong on our behalf. I'm asking you, Lord, that you may give us the peace that we need, that you may assure us of the life that we have with you. For some of us that needs more, Lord, I pray that you may intervene. Just come to their life, Lord, in a fresh way. Meet their needs, Father, and let your will be done. And Lord, I pray that you continue to speak to us and to teach us and to enable us to become more like you, so that we can be like lights shining in the darkness. May your blessings be upon your people. May you continue to accomplish what you intend to accomplish, in Jesus' name. May everyone say, amen. Amen.